Welcome to the Why We Build podcast. Join Steve Wheeler and our host, Greg Wallach, to explore the world of remodeling. Whether you're on the production team, design team, or managing the whole show, you can expect insights, tips, and stories that inspire and educate. So let's dive into the Why We Build podcast.
Welcome to the Why We Build podcast. I'm Greg Wallach, and I'm here with Steve Wheeler. Today, we are talking about something we think is absolutely crucial to growth and success for both ourselves and for our Remodelers Advantage community: mindset. Mindset is the foundation for how we approach our goals, handle challenges, and show up for ourselves and each other. Think about it. Every day, we face things that can either knock us down or help us grow. And while we can't always control what life throws at us, we can control how we respond. And that's why mindset is so powerful. Resilient, positive mindset isn't about pretending anything is easy. It's about deciding to create something good, even in tough situations. One of my favorite metaphors is from the coffee bean idea from John Gordon and Damon West. They say we have three choices when we're under pressure. We can be like a carrot and get soft. We can be like an egg and harden, or coffee bean that transforms its surroundings. I think we're here to be coffee beans, to take whatever's thrown at us and turn it into something better. So why does it matter so much? For one, a lot of us tend to focus on negative stuff, especially when things get hard. Simple things like practicing gratitude or reframing challenges as learning experience can actually shift our mindset and make us stronger. When we focus on the positive, it's about getting more energy and motivation to keep going. Now, in our roundtable community, having a strong mindset is about supporting each other and focusing on solutions, not just problems. That could mean celebrating small wins, taking responsibility when things don't go as planned, or just bringing a positive vibe to the table. We're building each other up, and it really impacts everyone. Negativity is contagious, but so is encouragement, and we get to choose which one we spread. Now, finally, having a solid mindset isn't just about surviving the day-to-day. It's about putting our energy towards something bigger than ourselves. Now, Guy Kawasaki, in his book, Think Remarkable, says that to make real impact, we need three things. That's growth, grit, and grace. A mindset focused on purpose helps us keep growing, keeps going even when it's tough, and shows up for others. That's the kind of mindset, not only strong, but truly meaningful. So as we dive in today's episode, remember that every day and every challenge is a chance to choose resilience and to spread positivity and to aim higher. Steve, how are you?
I am fantastic, sir. How are you doing?
I am rocking and rolling, loving it, living life, you know? So tell me, what does mindset mean to you? And how has it shaped your personal journey? These are conversations you and I have had. I know where you're going, but let the listeners know.
Well, I mean, mindset is such a great topic, near and dear to me. I think, we'll definitely take the tentacles of mindset and positive thinking and go in a number of different directions. But mindset to me, really, it's been so important in just the lens that I prepare for things, how I react to things, most importantly, how I react to things. But it's given me that ability. And it's been, I will say that my view and practice of mindset has changed many times over the years. It's graduated into many different elements, starting back when I was right around 30 years old, discovered The Secret, which is really the power of positive thinking and really the theory of manifestation and thoughts are things and all those things. And when I put it into practice, it's really almost like a line in the sand moment for both my personal life and professional life. So I think mindset is just when you look around and you view the people that are around you that bring you joy, the people that are successful or truly successful, you are going to find at the root of that a growth, a positive mindset almost all the time. Now, there's outliers and everything, but I think how you view things, the lens that you look at the world is so important. And that lens can be something that looks at things in a scarcity mindset, you know, I want more, there's not enough, or there's a abundance mindset. It's all available to me. It's all available to others. And so, Yeah, it's a long, broad answer, but I think, just looking at the power of thought and the power of repetitive thought, and everything is really a habit. So everything can be grown, everything can be improved based on the habits you form. And that is in your thoughts. If you're practicing positive thinking, if you're practicing a meditation or a mindfulness, you're going to be able to react better when your thoughts start to go to the negative. I'm all over the place right now, but we'll get to a lot of the subsets of this. But how about you? Tell me about your kind of experience, history, thoughts on mindset.
Yeah, and you mentioned the secret. The law of attraction is incredibly powerful, and I wasn't a believer, and then I was, I it was that mindset shift that allowed me to start thinking positive ways, and positive things started happening. When I was thinking in negative ways, negative things were happening. So I really think that idea, that law of attraction, may sound a little out there for some folks, but I think it has a lot of credence for sure. I think it's something that you can put a lot of weight in terms of our world, in terms of our work. It doesn't do you any good to get stuck in the negative mindset. You and I are both facilitators for various different roundtable groups, and there are just people sometimes that just can't get out of their own way. They're stuck, and it's a negative mindset. And I'm sure you see that too when you're facilitating.
Yeah, and who doesn't battle that? I think it's as simple as just simple terms you may think are innocuous. But you walk outside, you didn't bring an umbrella, you're walking down the street and it starts raining, and you say, "Of course." It's that dejected kind of why me? Things like this happen to me. Well, yeah, because that's what you're going to pay attention to. Instead of, wow. We really do need rain right now. We happen to be in a drought. This is fantastic. I'm going to walk back and get my umbrella, or maybe I'll just enjoy kind of this time of the rain, whatever it is. But those negative reactions are very normal to human psychology. They are really almost defense mechanisms in a way, and they become habit, right? Subconscious mind can be trained, and so many of your thoughts and what you're mindful of, the way you're thinking, the path that you're taking, your daily thoughts, yeah, I think they shape everything.
Can you think of a time or share a time where the shift in mindset, changed how you handle the situation, a challenge? Could be personal, could be work related, just something where that mindset change really helped.
Yes, yeah, so I think well, I mean, there's really kind of three times I can think of they're not in order, but just reading the book Mindset by Carol Dweck helped me understand more some of the patterns that maybe I have had over the years, or it really defines a growth mindset versus a fixed mindset. Growth mindset being that well, fixed mindset being you're kind of born how you are, and the skills you have are how good you can be. And the growth mindset is just really more of an abundance thought that, practice, dedication, continual improvement can really grant you anything and take you to any different level. So viewing, any type of limits that you have on yourself as an opportunity for growth through concentrated practice. So that one was a big one, and really helped kind of guide the way that I could redirect some of my thoughts. I think after The Secret, one of the biggest lines in the sand for me was creating a vision board. And as hokey as that sounds, because it is, and you may sometimes feel foolish putting it together, but that has single-handedly been one of the biggest just tangible changes that I've had in my life. Just putting things down, looking at it every single day, and we'll kind of chat about reticular activation, but viewing that and the subconscious mind just shapes all your actions, intentions, and thoughts through the achievement of what you want to have. And that can be anything. And then the third one was a little different. I've talked about it on the Tim Fowler show. I may have even mentioned it already on this show, but I tell the story all the time. And it was a time when I was just, I was in business. I was it was very early on. It was the 70-hour week, 70, 80-hour weeks, and I was still in the field, and I just was constantly getting injured. My hands were constantly getting hitting it with a hammer, getting cut, whatever it is, and it was just this constant reminder of me feeling like I wasn't where I wanted to be, right? Just every time I hit my hand, it would just be, oh, I can't believe, So that was right around the time of The Secret, and so I shifted every time I would hit my hand. It was right around the time my nephew, the first grandchild, first son of my two brothers, he was born, and right around the time I would just think of him every single time. So I would hit my hand, I would think of my nephew Grady, and boom, I would get a smile. To this day, again, no lie, it is. I stub my toe, I hit my hand, I have an injury. My first reaction is a smile and almost a laugh, just because I've changed my reaction to that stimulus. And that can be across the board, right? No matter what it is, if it's a physical, if it's emotional, there are trigger points that you can coach and train yourself on your reaction, and how it can affect your mood and your path in daily and just your overall goals. How about you?
Well, I mean, becoming a dad, 20, it's over 20 years ago now. I think that was a big mindset shift. Not that there wasn't times of great emotion or anything like that overwhelmed in a not positive way. But when you start thinking about what the kids see and how the kids see you react and stuff, or and that's true for anyone that's on your team too. If your message in your business is one of positivity or whatever your core values may be, if you're not living those, it certainly doesn't help your situation all that much. Why do you think, and maybe you don't have the answer to this, but I find it, you and I sometimes we can both probably get in these negative mindsets. And why do you think it's so easy to get stuck in that negative mindset?
Well, I think, it's almost like built in us, right? I mean, using fear way back when we were hunter gatherers, all the way back to, being aware that when we step out of our hut or wherever we were, that there were dangers out there. There were animals, there was weather, there were those things. And so I think sometimes we can get stuck into this preparation of the negative. We could say, well, I just want to be prepared so that this bad thing doesn't happen. It's very natural to do that, right? It's a mechanism of safety. It's just it becomes this cognitive habit that we have to really based in fear, a habit that we form to protect ourselves. So I think that's it's wildly common, and I think that's why it really takes concentrated effort and mindfulness. The tools that I've used to kind of catch, as I call it, like a filter of negative thoughts, is mindfulness and meditation. So to me, that's a practice of being able to view thoughts without judgment, and then being able to react accordingly, and changing the lens in which I view those thoughts. That has been incredibly helpful to me, is the mindfulness and meditation teaching. But and I think we can go into where negativity and positivity takes people, but what are your thoughts?
I think we stay positive. I think we stay positive from here on out. And something that I've started doing, this has been a few months now. It's this Hal Elrod wrote this great book a while back called Miracle Morning. And he's got this acronym called SAVERS. It's meant to take under an hour. I do the E, which is exercise. I do that a little bit longer in the mornings, but basically S is silence. So you get up, I hydrate, drink a bunch of water, and I just sit in silence for 5 minutes. And then the A is affirmation. I've created this affirmation to kind of repeat it to myself. It's about being good at RA. It's about being a good dad, about being a good husband, things like that. That's A. V is the vision. So yes, it was completely corny to put together a vision board, but I have one. And I do. I look at it every morning. It's some of it's tangible, some of it's not. But it's again, it's just it's something I'm trying to wire my brain in a certain way. E is exercise. I actually put that out of order. I get the other stuff in first. R is reading. I do that in the evening and in the morning. But whether it's from like The Daily Stoic by Ryan Holiday, I love that book, or geez, all kinds of like daily readers and things I'll look at, John Maxwell or, you know, leadership ones and things like that. And then, you know, you kept mentioning gratitude, and it was something I said in the monologue as well. But I've started just writing down things I'm thankful for. Not full sentences, just things. Just if I can get 100 things down, sometimes the list is the same 2 or 3 days in a row. Sometimes it changes, but it just shifts the way I think about things. And then, you know, my first call at 8 o'clock or my, you know, our daily check-in, I'm wired up. I'm ready to go and I'm in a good space. And I think all of that stuff has so much to do with positivity. There's physical aspects there. There's mental aspects. There's emotional aspects. There's wiring the brain. But yeah, I mean, I think let's stay positive for the rest of this episode. I think that's the way to go.
I agree. And, you know, when you talk about that morning, you're always going to have an opposing force to your path in that morning. And if you were to put on the local news, and this is covered in the Secret. And I think people go down this path a lot. But you put on the local news, you put on a political based show, especially recently, you're not going to be fed a lot of positivity, right? And it's like any type of diet, what you put in is how it's going to affect your overall chemistry. And if you are watching local news, you know, more than likely you're going to hear some pretty horrific stories. And you turn on the political shows or, you know, U.S. news shows, you're going to hear this banter of just disagreements and all those things. And it's all coming in, right? And so I think it's important to also really structure what you're allowing in. And one thing they said in The Secret is, you know, well, people said, how can I cut out the news? You know, I need to know what's going on. And that's important thing there is to be informed and don't be inundated. Try to find the top level information that you want to receive. Find a way to receive that. But outside of that, you can easily get inundated into that nonsense. And it will you know, really cause a tougher battle when it comes to the act and habit of positive thinking, growth mindset, and all those other things we're talking about.
So I know you're very committed to, you know, continuous improvement, one of our core values here at Remodeler's Advantage. And I know you have your routine, you get to the gym early in the day, things like that. My biggest struggle is discipline. It's not motivation. At night, I go to bed, I am motivated to get up in the morning. Morning comes, I don't have the discipline all the time to do it. What do you use to keep yourself disciplined? Because I think discipline and motivation are two different things.
They very much are. You know, for me, my dad was highly regimented growing up. So discipline and regimen were something that were just kind of built in to me. My dad was also somebody that, as like the only book I can ever remember on my dad's nightstand for like the time I grew up was Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. And that is all about thoughts or things. So, you know, I think for me, regimen is wildly important, but also a North Star, a goal, a direction. What am I trying to achieve? And I'm not looking at a year from now. It can be broken down into a week, into a month. And, you know, a lot of my exercise goals or things that I have in place on a daily basis, I try to view why I'm doing them. So what's the current goal? And is that losing weight, staying in shape, all those things? I try to be very intentional about why I'm doing the things I'm doing. And yeah, I think that for me is regimen is the backbone of discipline, is because if you have to think about what you're doing, it's many times not going to work out as well, right? So having a plan in place and just knowing, like for me, if I go to sleep and I want to go to that 5 a.m. gym workout, if I go to sleep and I don't have my clothes ready, my percentages of me not making it to the gym just shot up to about 90%. So for me, it's wildly important that I am preparing every single night with shoes, socks, all the clothes, gym bag, sitting there ready for me to, in that fog of 4:30 a.m., putting those things on and getting to the gym. So regimen to me is the core of discipline.
So when we're with our members, we're facilitating at roundtable meetings and stuff. And like we mentioned before, sometimes folks get stuck. What have you done in those situations to kind of get people to move on? Or, you know, sometimes it's politicking. They're repeating the same thing over and over again. We're not getting ahead. You know, what some of the things that you could recommend to people to just get out of your own way?
Yeah,
I'm asking for a friend.
there's a few. I think recently in the meetings that I've facilitated, people have talked a lot about a downturn, a lot about a recession or any type of slowdown, and that's been their main focus. And reticular activation, the RAS, the reticular activating system, in the purest form is when you buy that red car, you start to see red cars on the road. So if you focus on a downturn and you focus on business slowing up, that will subconsciously affect every action that you take to the contrary. So, obviously you want to put time and money into marketing and all these things. Again, be informed, don't be inundated, but put a plan in place for every the goals you want to reach, but you can also have a plan in place. If things were to not happen this way, then I'm going to do A, B, and C, and then put that away and you're focused on the goals, right? So at least you feel prepared. But I think when you overly focus on the things that could go wrong, that's probably what's going to happen. And I just noticed from viewing all of our members in various stages of their career, and maybe I think success may be the wrong word, but just the profitability, the performance of their company. When you take that section of people in RA and you look at the highest performing versus companies that maybe are either newer or struggling a bit more, I'd say the identifiable thing would be mindset of the owner. What is that mindset of the owner? How do they go through the day? What's it like being around them? And I think you'll find that a positive mindset, somebody with a growth mindset, is what you'll find on the higher end. One thing that one of our facilitators, Jeff Forward, recently posted, something that I know that the CEO of Life is Good, that company, the
Oh, yeah.
brand, he started having all of his employees or asked to kind of put this thought in front of them, is that it is such an opportunity. It's such a amazing thing that we have a job. Like, I'm grateful to be able to come to RA and do what we do. It's truly a blessing. But I get to do this. I don't have to do this. And so Jeff Forward posted, I get to go be a facilitator for one of the roundtable groups, and I get to be around all these great people. And so already that lens is the lens of gratitude and a lens that I get to do this thing, puts it in a completely different light than saying, I have to do this. That's in the same line of, I have to go to the dentist. We get to do these things. And when you start saying that, I think it shifts the whole energy of how you react and perform in those moments.
That was a great post by Jeff. I saw that on Facebook as well. And what's coincidental is my little speech before I give, whenever I'm speaking somewhere, it starts with a gratitude about I get to do this. The whole thing is I get to do this. I get to travel the country and speak to people about the thing that I love most, and that's this industry. And you know, I hope people embrace what I'm saying to them. And it is truly from my heart where I say that, but it is such a great way to start off a public speaking engagement, which aren't the most fun things for me anyway, but to be able to do it, from a place of gratitude, it helps me. I hope it helps the listeners as well, but it certainly helps me. You don't have to say the name of the magazine. And I know most media companies are professional overreactors. That is a line that Mike Greenberg would use on Mike and Mike in the Morning when that show was still on.
But great show, by the way.
It was. I miss Golic very much. I have a greeny story I won't share on here, but we can talk about that offline.
Okay.
You've used this example of me a couple of times, but again, without sharing the name of the magazine, how did that impact you? And I know a lot of this comes from that.
Yeah. So recently I was doing a clean out, and I've kept a number of magazines that stood out to me over the years. And, it's a lot of the remodeling publications, but the cover of it was Preparing for the Downturn. And, when I went to look at the date, I'm like, when is this? And it was from 2019. So that was preparing for what we never thought was in our way. Or what nobody ever could prepare for was this global pandemic, which then catapulted us into one of the craziest demands for building and remodeling we've ever seen, which also kicked us into a shortage of material, which kicked the price through the roof. And so, I think, again, being informed and not inundated, and you could have read that magazine and all the decisions you made, all the thoughts you made, the way you prepared for projects and your budgets could all be prepared for this downturn, which essentially really didn't happen. I mean, it happened a very scary time and during the 6 to 7 months of when the first shutdowns happened in March of 2020. But, by October, November, things were starting to speed back up. Nor did you think you would get a PPP loan, and all these things. So, I think it's really important. This goes back to a little outside of the mindset, but maybe the fundamentals. Always do the fundamentals. So, always have a sales process, always have a marketing plan, always have those strategies and tactics in motion. Again, if you are just preparing and looking for a downturn or a slowdown, you're going to find it. You're going to find it in ways that other people aren't finding it. You're going to find it in that first week where the leads don't match the previous year. And you're just going to find it everywhere. And it will become a downturn to you if you allow it. But again, being prepared for a downturn is one thing, but and being strategic, but being kind of operating in a place where we got to watch out for the downturn, it's coming. And well, maybe it doesn't. And you asked about the facilitation and how kind of our members have shown maybe negative thoughts have come out. And it was this one member who was, he spelled out one of his burning issues. And it was like, what if I can't sell as much as the previous salesperson? What if I can't do this? What if I can't get my team to do this? And the simple question of that is, what if you can? Right. If there is this focus on all of the things that could go wrong, then I'm pretty certain you're going to find them if that's what you're looking for. It's that reticular activation. So you're going to find what you're looking for. And if it's your team, it's the subconscious kicking in and creating actions based on your thoughts.
One of my favorite sports people is a guy named Doug Flutie, won the Heisman Trophy in early 80s. And he would often get the question, what is it like to be a short quarterback? What is it like to be a short quarterback? And he would answer, I don't know any different. And I think that is like the perfect mindset when it comes to a lot of these things. I don't know any better. I don't know what I don't know. Yeah. I don't know what it's like to be 6'10". I don't know what it's like to be Tom Brady or, I don't know those things. So I know it from my perspective, my point of view and what I can do. So we're getting close to wrapping up here. I got two questions. All right. I'm going to answer them as well as you. I'm going to ask you first, do you have or what is your one ritual you swear by to keep your mindset strong?
Oh man, I think it's a I'm not as consistent as I should be, but it's a consistent practice of meditation. And the big one too, which, you know, meditation is wildly important, but for me, it's journaling. And there's two phases to journaling. The one is when I really feel almost like an active journal. This is like, I feel bound up. Maybe the negative thoughts are more abundant than others. There's a situation that I view as dire or that is overtly challenging. I'll write it down and I'll just say what I think is going to happen. I'll say how I'm feeling and, you know, spell it out. The cool part of that is I usually do a review about 2 weeks later and I'll read back. Sometimes it was way worse than I thought it would be.
Mm-hmm.
And many times it's not even close to what I thought. So what that continues to tell me is I do not know the future. I know that my actions right now are what determine today, tomorrow, and the goals I have set. But yeah, I think it takes a lot of the weight out of that reaction when things do come out that are extra challenging or hard.
Yeah.
Is that you can look at that in a different lens. And also not to cut you off, but Jocko Willink has that famous podcast, and our buddy Zach, the sales executive at Remodelers Advantage, always talks about his reaction when things would go really bad when he was serving in Iraq. And whenever somebody would deliver bad news, he would say good. And that good was just, it shifted that he had an opportunity to fix a problem, to help, to change the situation that was currently bad.
Yeah. So a little academic wisdom here, or Mark Twain, there's a quote attributed to him, and it's something about, I've suffered a lot of trouble and most of it's been in my mind, or, you know, something like that. And then Abe Lincoln was known to write letters and not send them. Like, he would be upset about something. Wow. He would write the letter and then just wouldn't send it. And either maybe he'd send it later if he needed to, or, you know, just this thing.
It's deleting an email.
It's deleting an email. Yeah.
Yeah.
So my ritual or habit, I swear by, is the morning routine. If I miss that one day, it throws me off. It really does. I love just getting the, you know, the brain rewired every morning for whatever it is. And usually whatever book I'm reading, there's a little bit of wisdom in there that I can take throughout the day or share. So if you could go back in time and give one piece of mindset advice to the 10-year-old Steve Wheeler, what would that be?
I don't know. He was pretty dialed in. He might have been, no, I'm kidding.
5-year-old? Or what, where?
I'd say let's do a 19-year-old Steve Wheeler. I think it's that's a tough one. I think that's such a crazy time, but really that thought of regimen and routine in whatever capacity, I would really try to relay that to him, and working on overall goal setting, you know, what is important, what is not important, priorities, things like that. I think we all kind of learn things at the right time. And when I learned the secret, it was at the right time.
Yes.
So, you know, maybe what I tell that 19-year-old or that 10-year-old, they may not be ready to hear that yet. So I think when I learned that, it was the right time. And, you know, it'll get me to my next question. But how about you, the young 10-year-old wizard, Greg Wallach?
Practical advice would have been to wear knee pads, installing flooring and tiling baseboard.
You know what?
I did not do.
I would like to do that too. I have permanent black marks on my knees. I had my skin on my knees is permanently bruised from not using knee pads.
51 years old, I'm the guy in church that leaves his butt on the pew when he puts his knee on the kneeler, because I just can't put the pressure on it. But I think the, you know, emotional advice, and I agree, the teacher arrives when you need it. Like, I think you're correct in saying that maybe I wouldn't have taken the advice when I was younger, but I would say this too shall pass. You know, a lot of, you know, we've all hit bumps in our road, and it's going to get better.
Yeah.
It's going to get, not that it doesn't take work, not that it doesn't take effort, but it will get better. So,
and as a parent, I think I do that a lot of, trust me, This is not, when you have kids going into middle school, and those are just really challenging times for anyone. And, this too shall pass is an important lesson, and the thing is, it's like, yeah, the right now could be a challenging time. You're gonna face worse. You're gonna get through it, right? And so, those are very important things to understand. And I think, like, as people listen to this, we're kind of spouting things we've read, and it's regurgitation of a lot of different lessons, and by no means psychologists. But I think if anybody was to get started or say, I think the way I think is great, blah, blah, blah. It's just to take that view from the outside and just kind of look at relationships, look at the results, look at the people that you're surrounded with. It's always good to kind of take an audit of what's around you and what your routine looks like and what you do on a daily basis, what you ingest through news, social media, whatever. But I think almost like a diet or just an overview audit of what am I constantly surrounded by and what am I constantly, reading, taking in, ingesting. That's a big one. It's just you can make it a lot easier on yourself to have those routines bear fruit. But if you were to do your routine that you laid out and then jump on social media and Twitter and look at all of these battles that go on in the political space and everything else, you can probably sour all the progress that you made. And one more thing, which I've also, it's like, and I'm starting to get to that age. I don't know the stories I've told already. But I say it to every single incoming class from Jumpstart to the new roundtables members. And it's that thought around the Roger Bannister 4-minute mile. And when it was the impossible feat, nobody could ever run faster than break a 4-minute mile. And 100 years it really took for somebody to finally do it. And when he did it, that record was broken 10 times within a year. And that right there is mindset. And that is unlocking the potential and unlocking the availability of success and opportunity in life. That one to me is, I think about all the time. And I think, what is available to me? What is available to our company? What is available to our members? And how can we continue to kind of unlock that 4-minute mile in many different aspects, right? What, because that 4-minute mile, everybody thought it was a physical limitation, but obviously it was solely a mental limitation, because as soon as the belief that people could do it happened, the physical took back seat, and they were able to achieve that unbeatable feat.
Well, I'm going to try and land this plane, Steve. I think I love mindset. I love talking to you about stuff like this, which we do offline often. I think the one point I want to stress, though, it's not a replacement for hard work. Everything that we're talking about here comes from hard work, but it'll be easier if you have the right mindset. I don't know if you have anything to add to that or if you disagree, but I think
Well,
everything we're talking about is still about hard work.
that's a lot of times when people put the brakes on The Secret. A lot of times in The Secret, when you first get to the first 45 minutes, or if you read it, the first 2/3, so I'm just supposed to think about making more money or getting. That's not the point. The point is that you are putting the fuel in of positive thoughts. And your actions will subconsciously start to move toward that direction. So, yes, so you can be hard, you can work hard at something that takes you in the wrong direction. Yes, hard work is very important. And, all the positive thinking in the world will never replace hard work, actions, deliberate actions. But what this does is just it directs to the goals and it directs toward a positive outcome. I think I'm going to butcher this. Probably shouldn't even say it, but there's Jim Carrey had this famous speech about his dad and how his dad was an accountant, but he was an incredibly funny man and could have been an amazing stand-up comedian. And would always talk about I could have done comedy and things. It just got to the point that he was an accountant his whole career, and he didn't really love doing that ever. But he worked really hard, and you can work really hard to get to a place of not where you think you should be, or not at the level of your talents. And another thing to kind of that kind of unlocks more of the taking the chances and managing risk in life and those types of things, but really unlocking what's available, unlocking that potential in life.
Steve, thanks for chatting.
Always.
Listeners, thanks for listening to another episode of the Why We Build podcast.
That's it for this episode of the Why We Build podcast. We hope you found something valuable to take back to your team. If you enjoyed the show, be sure to subscribe and leave a review. Please send in your ideas for future episodes. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you on the next one. If you want more information about our roundtables program, production manager groups, design manager groups, consulting services, or any of the Remodelers Advantage offerings, please visit remodelersadvantage.com or email Greg at remodelersadvantage.com.